This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. This probably won't come as a surprise to you, but last night I fell asleep during the so-called championship game. At halftime, I was snoozing a little bit because the game was that boring. Such a boring game, and Alabama won. They're no doubt they are the best team in the land. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Some of you might have thought it was an interesting game, and you can convince me it was an interesting game. But it was, it was a game. And then we'll talk a little baseball today with our good friend Lynn Henning. We'll examine the Detroit Tigers and look at them. And we'll also talk a little bit of high school basketball tonight. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Once again, 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're here with you each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1 to 2 o'clock. And we'd love to talk with you each and every day. And hopefully you love to talk with us. And we'll just converse a lot of things coming up here on Sports Talk 870. And we can do that right now. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And as you know, the final score, 42-14 last night. Maybe a few of you stayed awake. Maybe a few of you watched the whole game without falling asleep like I did. So maybe some of you, you're better than I am. I'll give you that. Better than I am because, boy, it was the only thing I can say. It was a game. It was a game. Not a great game, but it was a game. And that was it. So, hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you that you give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. So give us a call. Talk sports with us. And we've got Alex back. Alex has been on a nice vacation. So we want to glad to have Alex back and talking sports with us right here. And let me see. Well, and I did my usual screw up. I wrote the wrong numbers down or something. So we'll find out that. And we'll talk with Don from DeWitt is on the line. Hey, Don, did you find the game as boring as I did?
You know, Earl, the football fan in me wanted a more competitive scrap, but I couldn't turn my eyes away. I mean, it was just such a systematic dismantling, like a one-sided boxing match or a train wreck. You just can't take your eyes off of it. It just shows where Nick's got that program at. And I, you know, with a month to prepare and the athletes he has, he's going to shut just about anybody down.
Yeah, when you give someone a month to prepare for a game, and especially a coach that he gives, when he prepares for a game, he does so much in detail. He just prepares so much detail. So it's hard to beat a guy like Nick Saban unless you just have somehow you have to come up with superior talent. If you can come up with superior talent, then you got a chance. But if you don't, well, then you're just going to go down just like everybody else. But he just is a great recruiter. He always has been a great recruiter. He was frustrated when he was here at Michigan State because he couldn't beat Lloyd Carr at Michigan, but he was very frustrated here. So that was one reason why he left, because he wanted to go someplace where he'd have a better chance at recruiting kids and getting better players.
Well, and the thing about it, Alabama is truly one of the nuclear powers with the amount of money that the boosters give. And, I mean, anything Nick needs or wants, they find a way to finance it. It's incredible. It's a machine. And, I don't see it stopping. And I hope he just ends up retiring there from Bama with another another couple national championships, renowned as the best coach ever. He's amazing. It was something. Dame never knew what hit him, and they had a great run this year. They're shown by the fact that they had 22 seniors. Older is better when it comes to football programs, and the Spartans have still got a relatively young total program. But it'll be interesting. Both of them will go onward and upward from here because they recruit, just like Duke basketball, like Tom always says about it, you shake a tree and five All-Americans fall out.
Yep. Yes. I had someone says, "What makes the SEC so good, so special? So many good football players, and they start learning football at an early age, and that's one thing you have to do. And the parents and the coaches there, they teach the kids early. They get involved in youth football when they're 7 and 8 years old, and they go from there. So if you get involved that early, you can become a pretty good football player."
Well, yeah, and being able to be outdoors all year and
yes.
just never stop, and the things like spring football and competitive weightlifting in high school down in Florida, mm-hmm. Certainly lends itself to the extra edge. The thing about it too, with it's not just. The state of Alabama produces a ton of good prospects itself that he can feed on, even though he's got Auburn in-state. But, I mean, look at the surrounding states. It's
yeah.
the richest football recruiting ground around, and you don't have to get a kid to go very far away from home. And, a lot of Southern kids don't like to come up here and play some manly November
right.
football.
Right, they dare to play at home, and you can't blame kids for staying and wanting to play at home, and that's what most of them do. They stay because they want their relatives and their friends to see them, and nothing wrong with that. A lot of kids want their friends, their relatives, and everyone and to see them play. So it's you can't blame them for wanting to stay home. That's for sure.
Oh, not at all. And that Tom Izzo has always operated on the premise. That if you can take care of your recruiting needs as close as you can, the better, because then the families can be involved, and it's built what they've got over here as far as mentioned in Steve Smith's comment, there's no basketball fraternity anywhere like Michigan State.
Yes, that reunion game really showed all the people that showed up for that game. That's really special, and it showed how special Michigan State is with all that number of people that showed up. That was just a great, great evening.
Oh, the whole deal was just a great experience, and might have been the best part, although I did not go to the game on Saturday. Certainly I heard reports of this, and Tim mentioned it on his show, but the tribute given to the Tuskegee Airmen that were in attendance, that's what it's really about. And, what a special event. They all remarked what a special event it was for them. And it just, the Michigan State brand with Mark Hollis behind it will continue to grow.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And we're going to try to catch up with Lynn Henney, talk a little sports with him this afternoon, talk a little baseball with Lynn, and that should be a lot of fun. So you want to give us a call, give Lynn a call, and see if we can get him. I think I wrote that number down for you. I wrote the right one down for you. So... Now, that's not, no, that you sure that's Matt's number? I thought that was Lynn's number. My office, let me see. I don't think my office is locked, but if it is, you can come over here and get the keys. So we'll find out. We'll find out here. So I'm trying to, because I thought Matt's number was 88-something. But, if not, we'll keep them, we'll keep him on for a little bit longer. And, we'll do that. We'll keep Lynn on for a little bit longer when we get him on. So he said he had time. Mm-hmm. And so this is what happens when you move offices. You get all discombobulated. So I had to move offices here a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still getting it together there. So hopefully, in the next few weeks here, I'll have it straightened out on what numbers I'm supposed to call and everyone's numbers and who's there, where they're supposed to be. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a hassle, but I'm working with it. I'm trying real hard to get everything right. Sometimes I don't do as well as I should, and I don't apologize for that. I mean, I just mess up like some of us always mess up, and I'm one of those guys that messes up from time to time. I make a mistake every once in a while. You know, I might forget something and make a mistake, but hey, it happens. So we'll just talk sports with you, and we'll talk sports, and we'll make it through. We'll muddle through it some kind of way. Each and every day, we'll just muddle through the sports and muddle through it and make it all happen. But give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to give us a call from AM 870 right here on WKAR from East Lansing. Well, let's talk with Tom. Tom, how you doing?
How are you doing today, Brother
Earl? Hey, doing good.
Good. I got a question for you that's going to take you down memory lane. And I know you were around in the days when they had the MSU basketball team did a walkout on Gus Giannakis.
Yes.
Do you remember what that was all about? I was out there during those days, and I always thought it had to do with them starting Gary Giannakis over Benny White. Was there more to it than that?
It was with Jeff Troost started it in a power forward over Pete McGill, and it was more of a Jeff Troost starting and getting the nod, because Gus had played everybody at that small forward position. He had played them all, and so he just wanted to give Troost a try, and I didn't have a problem with it because everybody else had been given a shot, and that's what happened. And Troost tried to go, and a lot of players just got upset when they decided to give Jeff Troost a shot at the starting a small forward.
Okay, so it was Troost, and it wasn't Gary Giannakis.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, because the memory was a little foggy there.
Okie doke. No problem, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. And the time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Give us a call on Sports Talk 870-355-9527, or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, they say we're going to take a break at 1:20, and you'll get Matt on the line. And when you have Matt on the phone, I'll get Lynn's number and see if I can do. I don't know what you're doing, Alex, but I'll just go along with it. I'll just go along with the flow, as we say. So we're just here, and we'll just go along with the flow and whatever we have here, right here on AM 870 WKAR. We're just a lot going on in the world of basketball, football, and baseball, and some of everything. So we'll continue to get loaded, and I'll continue to try to get things right. I know I'm the one. Just blame me. I'm the one that's screwing up over here. So we'll get it right there someday. So someday, some year, somehow, we'll get it right. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here at AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. So just give us a call. The time now is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing here in Michigan State.
Sunday, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad made his first speech in 6 months. He called the factions fighting against his authoritarian regime murderous criminals, and he ruled out any chance of talks that could end the violence. I'm Ari Shapiro. President Assad, his inner circle, and his options. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. Here's weather for the next few days. It'll be partly sunny today with a high around 38. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high around 40. And Thursday's forecast, mostly sunny until midday, then becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the afternoon and highs in the 30s.
And we're coming up at 1:20 at Sports Talk right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we'll talk with our good friend Matt Charbonneau. And as I'm trying to get the phones right here, it's one of these days. I guess if there were fumbles were counted, Alex would probably say I fumbled the ball about 5 to 10 times today. So, but we'll try to get it right in these last few minutes and get it going right. But I've been a fumbling fool this afternoon, so we'll try to get it right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Alex is trying to get Matt Charbonneau with us, and we'll talk with Matt and talk with him on AM 870. And let's bring in Matt Charbonneau. Matt, I'm screwing up today, but I'm trying to get things right here. As I told Alex, this is one of those days where if we counted fumbles, I'd have a bunch of them.
I hear you, and if I make it through with my voice sticking together, I'll be happy.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit of basketball. The Spartans, as we know, like a lot of teams, they're a good team, but they're not a great team, I would say. They're a good team. They've got a lot of good young players, and I'm not so sure how good can they be. How good do you think this team can get?
Well, I think that's a good question. I mean, I think you're right in the sense that they're good but not great. I think if you look in the Big Ten, you've probably got, Indiana and Michigan, I think, obviously have kind of separated themselves a little bit, maybe even Minnesota to an extent. And then you're looking at, Michigan State, Ohio State, Illinois. I mean, I think they're all kind of in that area of questioning how good can they really be. And, for Michigan State, there's obviously still a lot of questions. If they can get the consistent shooting, like they got from Gary Harris the other day, or anybody else. I mean, that can be a big thing for this team because, it hasn't been there consistently this year. It comes and goes. If they can get that, they can continue to create room for Derek Nixon's side. I think that'll help this team go a long way. But, short of that, it's kind of a mystery. We'll see. They're going to win their share of games, but, will they be able to compete against the very best? And we're going to find that out here pretty quickly.
Yeah, man. When I was watching the game last night, I must admit I was surprised about how. I mean, I knew Alabama was a better team and would probably win the game, but I must admit I was almost falling asleep at halftime. They ended the game so early. Did you have a trouble falling asleep, or were you able to stay awake the whole game?
You made it to halftime. Wow, you're doing better than I was. Jeez. I guess part of me sensed that Alabama was. I thought Alabama was going to win fairly easily. Mm-hmm. I don't say that to think in some soothsayer or something and know exactly what's going to happen. I just felt like all year I wasn't when I watched Notre Dame. I didn't feel like I was watching a national championship caliber team. Obviously, they got the job done. But I think back to when they played at Michigan State. I mean. Would anybody have walked out of that stadium that night saying they'd watched a team that they thought could compete for the title? And I don't think anyone could have said that, honestly. I mean, there were too many questions offensively for them. And Alabama, my goodness. I mean, that team has just it's just ridiculous, the talent level over there. I mean, they just keep coming at you, and it doesn't matter what side of the ball, what part of the offense or what part of the defense. I mean, they're just all over you, and it's, I mean, you have to be among the best to play with them, and I don't think Notre Dame was. And I just, you know, to me, I thought it was a fairly predictable outcome. I think Notre Dame's certainly on the right track, and will have a pretty good shot to get to that point shortly. But right now, Alabama is the class, and they proved it once again, in my opinion.
Yes, they did. And one thing that really impressed me was how they took Manti Te'o out of the game. I mean, he was totally a non-void in that game, and that surprised me, because I thought he was so good that you couldn't take him out of the game.
Yeah, and made me feel pretty stupid for my Heisman vote, I got to tell you. I mean, obviously, yeah. It's a whole season long. Yeah, I mean, I looked in that first half wondering what the heck happened to this guy. Did they switch number fives? And, you know, when Ever Golson was playing middle linebacker, he just wasn't a factor. Breaking little ankle tackles. He just wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't in position. When he was, you know, Alabama was taking care of him. I was really surprised he didn't play better. It's, you know, will that hurt his draft stock coming up? You know, maybe. I doubt it. You know, people have short memories on that, and once you start looking at all measurables again, I think he'll still be a pretty high pick, and he'll probably be a pretty productive player. I mean, everyone has those nights, and he certainly didn't have a good one.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but you're right. I'm pretty sure he's still going to be a high draft pick, probably between 5 and 10, somewhere in there, and he'll go high, and he'll play well in the NFL, that's for sure. He's still a very good player. He just had, you know, we all say in the pros, anybody can have an off night, and that was his off night.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and you know, there's probably a lot of fans around of the Lions who wouldn't mind seeing him as one of their linebackers next year. So, yeah, I mean, the guy's a good player. I wouldn't let one game, cloud anyone's thoughts on that. So, you know, it's just one of those nights. And they, you know, again, you're not going up against Central Michigan. I mean, Alabama is just a whole nother class out there. And, man, I tell you what, that's quite a machine they got going there. And who knows how you – I wouldn't be shocked if they're right back there again next year.
No, I wouldn't either. Hey, Matt, now, with Michigan State losing the big guy, who else are they going after, or are they still trying to make a little pitch? I know Tom doesn't usually make pitches after guys that have committed, but I don't know. He might change his mind in this one.
Excuse me. Well, yeah, in terms of guys who've committed, that, you know, I haven't really heard any rumblings on that. That's, you know, that typically doesn't happen in basketball, but you never know. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, is you hate to say it, but Jabari Parker actually uttered the words after his press conference, he's only a commitment. I mean, who the heck knows what will happen there? Nothing surprises me anymore, but, you know, at this point, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the 13 class. I mean, they've, you know, talked to a couple guys at this point. The Schilling kid who's in prep school in Nevada is another big guy. But I don't know, maybe you look at a fifth-year senior transfer kind of thing like Brandon Wood did last year. Who those guys might be right now, I'm not sure. But, you know, considering they're in on a lot of big names for 2014, that might not be the worst option for next year in terms of, you know, kind of just filling a gap here and there for a year. So, you know, what happens here in the next couple of months will be kind of interesting. You know, there's not a lot of big names left out there, so... I'd hate to see him fill a spot just for the sake of filling a spot. So that transfer idea might not be the worst plan, but, you know, they've got their name in there for quite a few of the top guys for 14. So it might just kind of be a one-year little reprieve here, and then they put their focuses on the next year or two.
Yeah, he does such a good job with players, and he may just, like you say, he may just pick up a couple from here and there, and which he might do because that's been his style, and he just gets he tries to get the best players, and he doesn't try to raid from other programs. So it'll be interesting just to watch how Tom proceeds in this, because he's got a lot of good young players, and that's one thing I've noticed. He only has the one senior, so he's got plenty of players to play with and figure it out. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes about doing it this way with this team.
Right, and now that, you know, Kearney has transferred, that's another opening that they didn't foresee having, you know, a few weeks ago. So, you know, I know he wants to sign at least another guy for next year. Whether that happens, who knows? But again, you look to, you know, at least four of the top five, six, seven guys next year, you know, the following year are all, you know, right in Michigan State's kind of wheelhouse there. You know, Tyus Jones, Okafor, Alexander, I mean, they're all high on Michigan State right now. And, you know, it's frustrating when you lose out on a guy like Parker and you're looking at the possibility of not having anyone in next year's class. But I think as Spartan fans, kind of be patient and realize what could potentially happen in 2014 and understand that, you know, Tom Izzo has really kind of reestablished himself in the Chicago area. There's a lot of good prospects. It could make people forget, you know, about missing out on Parker pretty quickly. You know, he's a good player, but, you know, that the work Tom Izzo and Dwayne Stephens has done specifically in Chicago, I think is going to pay off in the long run and pay big dividends. So, you know, how it plays out here for 2013, I guess, is anyone's guess at this point. It's certainly not ideal, but I don't think it's a reason to start panicking about the future of this program.
Yeah, they shouldn't, because I think the program's really solid. And Tom Izzo isn't going to, I know I've heard people say it's still a chance he might go to the pros. I don't think there's any chance he's going to go to the pros. I think he's going to be here for the long haul, to be honest with you, Matt.
I don't necessarily disagree with you there. I think he's so motivated to win another championship. Until that happens, I don't think I would really, you know, worry about it, to be honest with you. Maybe he gets another championship, he might start thinking about it, or heck, at that point, even saying that, you know, maybe I'll just get a cushy TV gig at that point. You never know. But, I mean, winning drives this guy so much. It's not going to happen anytime soon. So I think Spartan fans can be comfortable in the fact that, you know, he's going 100% and then some to try and get that next championship.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think they have to worry about Tom challenging me saying that, we'll have to have another rematch there, because we've had enough of those over the years. So I don't think they have to worry about that at all.
No, I put my money on you, Earl, anyway.
Okay. Hey, Matt, it's always good talking with you, my friend. And we'll talk to you later on, and we'll talk a little bit more basketball. As always, they got Iowa Thursday, so the Big Ten is really tough this year. I mean, do you see it getting even tougher next year? I mean, I'm just surprised at how tough it is this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about this year. How many easy nights are there anymore in the Big Ten? I mean, there's not many, if any, at that point. I mean, maybe Penn State or Northwestern. I mean, even Nebraska is going to muck it up, mm-hmm. you know, when you play against them. Same with Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin's not as good this year, but, you know, go try winning at that arena. It's not simple. I mean, it's just tough from top to bottom. When you look at teams now ranked, Wisconsin has been at some point. There's a lot of young players, and it could be as good next year. Who knows? Maybe not. Obviously, a lot of those players you don't expect necessarily to be around, next year at this point. But you never know. I mean, kids are all motivated for different reasons. If everybody comes back, you could be looking at, you know, something even tougher than this year. So I'll tell you what, whoever comes out on top of this one is certainly going to earn it.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Matt, we want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I look forward to talking to you again, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Earl.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau talking sports with us, talking a little hoops with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And I'll tell you this, Matt knows a lot about hoops, Alex, and he's a good guy to always talk to, because he knows his hoops, and he covers it, the Big Ten, really very, very well. So we'll talk more sports with you right here on AM 870, and we'll talk some other things. Well, you want to try and see if we can get Lynn a little early, that maybe he can come on a little bit early with us today, since I screwed it up and he should have been on at 105. But, we'll do that. We'll see if we can get Lynn Henning on and talk a little baseball with him and talk a little bit. I mean, we had the Hall of Fame vote passed up, and so I sort of want to talk to him a little bit about that, and we'll talk about that. We've got a good friend, Lynn Henning, on. So let's bring in Lynn Henning. And, Lynn, how you doing, buddy?
Happy New Year, Earl, and to all at Michigan State and in East Lansing and the environs up there.
Yes, happy birthday to you. I screwed up today. As I told Alex, he's been laughing at me all day. I just had one of those days. I said if it was fumbles, I'd have a ton of them today.
Yeah, turnovers are especially in this business, Earl.
Yes, they are. I know you had the vote yesterday, and I know you gave in a vote for Alan Trammell, and Alan couldn't. I know you're not surprised that Alan didn't get enough votes to get in, are you?
Well, he hasn't gotten out yet. That won't be announced until tomorrow afternoon. I've had him on my ballot for some years. He just makes it on my ballot. But he probably makes it by about as much as Jack Morris misses it. It's a somewhat tight vote, but Trammell is in the entire realm of baseball shortstops and baseball history. He makes it, Earl. In all of the qualifiers that you want to analyze, I think statistically. Of course, the wins above replacement and the jaws and all those numbers, they sound so complex that they're sometimes rejected. They're not. They're excellent analyses, mathematical analyses of where guys' careers really belong in the history of baseball. Trammell does make it, not by a great deal, but Jack Morris, conversely, just falls short. And I've been studying this stuff for years and years, every way that I think you can analyze it, and unfortunately, Morris is one of those guys who, almost like Fred McGriff, they come very close, but not close enough. And it's not a personal vote. Jack Morris, in fact, I see all the time and like him immensely. I've had beers with the guy, and if it was a personal vote, he'd be on in a moment. But you can't make it a personal ballot. Yeah. And a lot of people assume it is. It's not. It's not at all, at least not for the vast majority and percentage of voters.
And also, it just really blows my mind that our second baseman hasn't gotten in. He put up better numbers than Joe Morgan.
It's interesting how that happened, and it's sad. Earl, Lou Whitaker fell off that ballot. It was really what you would call an anomaly. It was a statistical fluke that it happened. And I can go back to that year, and it was a case where people didn't say, no, Lou Whitaker doesn't belong. They simply didn't put him on the ballot on his first year of eligibility. And it was a circumstance where I'm sure people thought, well, he'll get plenty of votes. I just don't really feel compelled to vote for him right now. Remember, Trammell and Whitaker played in the pre-ESPN, pre-internet, pre-media machine era, and a lot of what they did that would now be absolutely absorbed by the brunt of the baseball audience got missed. And yet Whitaker, had he remained on that ballot, probably would be getting at least as much support as Trammell does today. It just happened to be a weird deal where he somehow fell beneath 5%, and everybody said, what? And, of course, they had to look at themselves, and it wasn't an easy thing to confront, but it just really was a statistical aberration. I think he and Trammell will probably go in to the Hall together by way of the Veterans Committee in a few years. Now, it might be 10 years, but it in my estimation, is a pretty good bet, Earl, that Trammell and Whitaker will still go into Cooperstown.
Now, when you're going on the Veterans Committee as opposed to going in just on a regular vote, is there a difference? Do people look at that differently?
Good question. That's probably a bit of a more lukewarm induction because you've been bypassed in the early electorate. But not so much, Earl, I think, in terms of baseball history, and that's really how, of course, you're ultimately going to be viewed for the ages. And if you're in the Hall, they're not so much going to be concerned whether you went in formally by way of the writer's vote or afterward by the Veterans Committee. It was that you were judged by very, very good students of the game, and these voters are, in each case, to have been Hall worthy. And I think that at that point, pretty much obliterates any sense that it might be a backseat induction.
You know, we were talking before we came on the air, and I was just mentioning how, you know, that all I hear from the fans from around here in the area is that they're you might as well just give them the pennant right now. Just give them a walkover because they're so good. I mean, that's all I hear. The Tigers have the best pitching staff, the best hitting, the best fielding. It's like they've got every aspect of the game covered except maybe the bullpen, and a lot of people are thinking they're going to have a really good bullpen this year.
I think their bullpen would be probably pretty good. I think everybody's lack of familiarity with Bruce Rondon, the new kid closer, is more likely right now to raise concerns. But I believe when they see him pitch, they're going to understand why the front office didn't have a lot of problem in making him their closer, even without any big league experience yet, because he is very, very, very powerful and very good. And, yeah, he'll walk an occasional batter. But if you remember, Earl, Todd Jones and a guy named Valverde weren't opposed to putting the occasional runner on base either. I think this guy, frankly, will put fewer people on base and will be more of the thoroughbred closer that people are accustomed to seeing, the guy who just comes in and just vaporizes hitters. He's got that kind of stuff.
And that's really good, and it sounds like the Tigers are in good hands with him, and that we know they're good hands with the hitters. They've got great hitters. You know, I how much better do you think the fielding will be than last year? Because, as you know, we questioned the fielding from the beginning of the season, and it wasn't disappointing.
Yeah, you're right, Earl. That's still their Achilles heel as far as I'm concerned, and it's not just because Johnny Peralta doesn't have a lot of range at shortstop. Their first base defense with fielder is very poor.
Yeah.
And that stuff takes a toll. You have to hit past that. You have to pitch past that. Now, I think they're going to do something about shortstop, probably before opening day, but certainly by the end of July. And you'll have a better glove there. It's analogous to me to the situation a year ago where you knew they needed a second baseman. They thought they were going to get by with that consortium of players. They didn't, and it wasn't until they traded for Infante that second base really got cleaned up. I think they're in the same straits now at shortstop. Now, they can't do anything about Prince at first base because they really have no place to put him. And so they're going to have to live with a subgrade defense at first, which hurts because first base defense makes a big difference in a lot of games. But his bat also tends to make a difference in some games. He's just going to have to hit, and they're going to have to hit to overcome the ground balls that right now their infield can't handle. And even though Cabrera is better than we thought, he's not an all-star at third base as far as his defense. He still is challenged there. Well, that's a fair amount of ground ball strokes that get past fielders that, again, run up innings, run up pitch counts, and put a little more stress on your overall team. But these guys are good enough probably to get past that.
Yes, that's one thing I was going to ask you. How good is the rest of the team as far as on the field? Are they good enough to hold it down and just have guys come up and who just,
I think what you find there, Earl, is that they're pitching. I really do. I think you just have to rely on the fact that their pitching is so overpowering for the most part and so good that it's difficult to get much of a rally going against those guys. Now, you can sure score a couple of runs. You can have your innings or two against them, but you've also got to hold them down. And there should be a more potent offense there with Torii Hunter and with Victor Martinez back. All of those things make a difference. And they enable you to get by with a little less defense than you might otherwise need. But I think you'll also see, the Earl, that they'll continue to try to tweak that thing a little bit. And certainly with a different shortstop with range, a lot of their problem would go away. It's not as though Prince doesn't work hard at his defense. He works exceedingly hard. He's a pretty good athlete. But a lot of balls get past him, or a throw or two gets past him that shouldn't. And that's just the double-edged sword you have to live with when Prince Fielder's your first baseman. But I think there's a net gain there, and they view it that way properly.
Yes, and I mean he's adequate first baseman, and we'll see if he can get any better during the season. But you know, it is when you look at the Tigers in first base and their whole infield, as we talk about, there is some question marks there in the field. Do you think that they won't have to? You know, we lived with them just getting by with that. You think they're just going to have to get by again, or will they have to maybe make some improvements during the season?
No, I think, again, you'll see a couple of trades. Now, the one thing that they're going to do, they've got too many starters right now, so Rick Porcello is probably going to be traded. And Dombrowski, we'd like to trade him ahead of spring camp. But you have to find a team that has stuff that you need. And there has to be a commensurate offer there for a guy as good as Porcello. And that can be a little tough to nail down in a short period of time. I believe by the start of spring camp, or by the end of spring camp, and certainly by July, that you're going to see either one big trade or a couple of decent-sized deals, with the likelihood Porcello will be traded before spring camp. If he's not, then one looms, because unless somebody gets hurt, their rotation right now is five guys with Porcello on the outside. And you can't stockpile these guys because you have to pitch a starter every fifth day and get him his work. Everybody wants to say, well, hang on, one of those guys would get hurt. You can't do it that way, because if you just chuck Porcello into the bullpen, you're not getting him sufficient work. If you send Smiley down to AAA and he's clearly ready to join the rotation, which he is, then you're not doing your team or your market value with your trade chips justice. You're simply playing for rainy days, and you've got to be concerned right now about your product. You can always acquire pitching. You're also always going to have a staff at AAA. You're going to have a staff at AA. If somebody goes down, you can fill in. And maybe not with a person as good as the person who's been lost, but somebody who's going to be big league adequate. So for that reason, I think they've got to trade Porcello. But by summer, normally what happens, Earl, is Dombrowski knows what he has in his farm system. Those players at midseason take on greater market value, and that's why you so often see prospects involved with Dombrowski trades in July. I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens this year with Castellanos or Garcia or one of those guys even involved. But stay tuned, because there are going to be personnel changes and additions on this team for sure.
And that'll be something that we'll just have to keep an eye on. Hey, I wanted to throw you a little bit of a curve. What happened with the NHL? Why did it take so long for the NHL to settle their strike?
Same reason that it takes time for most strikes to be settled, Earl, when for the same terms of agreement, the deal could have been made earlier. This mm-hmm. was no different. They just held out and held out, both sides. I think the players had more justification to do so. And in the end, the owners did what the owners needed to do, make sure that the hit that the players were taking here was not going to be greater, which would have canceled the entire season. There was just nothing to be gained by that, and a tremendous amount to be lost. The owners can correct their problem anytime they want to, Earl, by not offering the money in the contracts they offer. But they always want to be saved from themselves.
Yeah.
And they look to the players to do that. Well, that's nonsense. Again, I'm always stunned by the people who promote the free market, who become very hostile toward the free market when athletes are getting paid. They don't like free enterprise and capitalism so much at that point.
Right.
But the NHL players had conceded an enormous amount, and the owners could have had the same deal a month ago, finally decided to take it, and we could have been playing hockey by now. But at least the season's been salvaged. A tremendous price has been paid. A lot of luster from that league has been lost, and that's a shame. But that's also sports these days.
Okay. What about the Lions? I guess we do have to bring them up. Another bad season for the Lions. What can we expect for these guys coming up?
It was really a setback, Earl, to see what I thought had been going north really drop so far south this past season. And with their particular situation with free agents and the salary cap and having paid so much money to so few players, they're going to have a hard time this year. And yet I say that with this caveat. It's still the NFL, and the NFL has the capacity to heal a lot of wounds because of parity. So I'd wait for the draft. I'd wait for the free agent season and see how they line up. And remember, they lost an awful lot of those games as squeakers. You can get those back in a real hurry. I think Stafford will be a better quarterback next year, more in line with the person that we saw develop the first 3 years. I don't think that's a long-term problem. But they've got a lot of work to do. They've got a lot of holes to patch, beginning with that secondary. They can't take any more gambles here on draft picks that have character problems that they think are going to suddenly be cleared up once they get to Allen Park. That's not happening. And so they've wasted, with Titus Young and with others here, some capital that they shouldn't have been really gambling on. But still, Earl, I would say to all those who think this team is headed back to the tank, no, they're not as bad as they were at any point previous to this particular regime coming in. And they have something to build on. So give the draft and free agency a chance to work. You might be surprised at what you see, and you might be surprised at what they can achieve next fall. I'm willing to give this team another year.
Okay, well, hopefully they will. But what about the Spartans? I mean, they lost three key players. Do you think they'll still be a strong team, or do you think those three players that they lost will hurt the team, eventually?
No, I think if you can't, Earl, play over the fact that you're going to lose some players to the NFL, even in one season, then you don't have a very good program. And I think Mark D'Antonio has a good program. I was disappointed by, the same as everyone who followed Michigan State football this past fall was, simply the lack of involvement with Andrew Maxwell. And I worried about that at mid-season. I thought, I'm not sure this kid is ever going to get much better. Mm-hmm. Because you weren't seeing the rate of growth or development that you would normally see with someone with his skills. And that was very concerning. And then, of course, it wasn't until the bowl game here that we saw that a change of quarterback can do wonders for you. I think they've got to not only open that up to Connor, into O'Connor, but also to Connor Cook, but also to Damian Terry here. I think you're going to have to be very open to any and all ideas here, and I'm sure they are now because they got locked into a situation with a rather immobile, inflexible, rather myopic quarterback here who just didn't have what it took to win ball games. And what could have been an 8-9 win season went down the drain here. That won't happen, I don't think, next year, even with the loss of Golston and Le'Veon and company here. And with Sims, I think Mark D'Antonio has the personnel to not only adequately patch up, but to still have very good players at those positions. That's obvious even now. But quarterback is really what got them in trouble last year, and it can't get them in trouble this next season. Too many people with too many skills are present on that roster to run into a Maxwell situation should he not come out in spring ball and show that he's a better and different quarterback than he was last season.
Okay. We got a question for you from one of our callers, for listeners. He wants to know, will the playoffs start next year, and will they start them early?
Are we talking about what playoffs?
I'm assuming the football playoffs.
The college football?
Yeah.
We're still two years away
from that.
2 years
away?
I wish it was next season, Earl, because those of us who've been wanting to see the playoffs arrive here for years and years and years, and so along this BCS nonsense was just that, it needed to go, have been chomping at the bit to get something sensible into the postseason in college football. Finally, kicking, dragging, and screaming, we're at that point. I can't wait for it, because we're going to end up with more justice at the end of the season with a better champion. And that's, last I checked, why you played competitive sports, to anoint a champion. And we weren't doing a very good job of that, nor have we done a real great job of that in previous years. But I think we're going to finally get something closer to justice when that playoff arrives.
Okay. Hey, Lynn, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, and we covered a lot of sports today, which is I'm always glad to do, and love talking with you, and we'll definitely have to do it again real soon and talk a little bit of sports with us here on AM 870.
Okay, Earl. That's great, Earl. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Happy New Year to you, friend. Okay. See ya. Yep, bye-bye. And that's the Lynn Henning. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to Lynn Henning. Always great talking to Lynn's Talking Sports here with Lynn on AM 870. And Alex, thank you for running upstairs and getting our numbers together as we're trying to get everything together. That's for sure. And we got to cut another caller for you. And so let's go to the phones and get our next caller. We have another caller in. We think it's Norm. Norm, how you doing?
Oh, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Happy New Year to you, my friend. But this is the first year, the last year, 2012-2013, I took a hiatus from football for 20 years. You know? Mm-hmm. I have no family members in there. So I didn't see any pro football game. In fact, I didn't even know who was in the playoffs. And I did go to one game. That was that Michigan game down here. So it was a Michigan-South Carolina game. I went. It was the first college ball game I went to this year. But, you know, I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be back. Oh, man, come on. Well, why are you coming down this way? Man, listen. You and I got to hook up. We can go to all of the parts. We got to get KAR to let you come down here and cover all of the spring training games, huh?
Well, I'm getting ready to retire, so maybe I'll just come down there on my own someday.
Retire, man, what's that?
Yeah, that's what happens when you get old. You go on and retire.
Oh, man. I'm saying right now it's 81 degrees. It is 81.
That is nice.
It's burning up down here, bro. You got to come down here for spring training, you know, and travel all the baseball parks that we have down here. I mean, it's up close and personal. That's the difference, you know,
yeah,
between going to the stadium. And, I mean, you'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I'm interested.
For a big-time sportsman like you before you retire, man, come on, you've got to say, I mean, you will go into sports heaven having been deprived and never been to spring training. And they may send you back, man. Come on, bro. You got to do it, man.
Well, we'll try. We'll definitely make an effort.
So listen, just for my retirement party, I want to do one thing. I want to go down to see spring training. I may even hang. We'll go down to Fort Myers, Sarasota. We'll go to Kissimmee over there and see the Braves. We'll go to Lakeland, of course. Man, come on, bro. You got to do this, man.
And enjoy those
78 and 81 degrees that we have down here.
We'll try to get to it one day there.
Not one day, right now before you retire. Never.
Yeah, because you've got that good weather. That's always tipping. That's the number one, get it. You got that great weather down there. So I think you'll probably see me down there. We'll do it, Norm.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called before, we invite you to come back and join us each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. I'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.